been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It is the midweek edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. And joining us back here today is CFA Barry Kite. Barry, welcome to the show again today.
Good morning, Bill. Yeah, it's, I guess I don't know if I'm a good omen or not, given given the market yesterday versus today.
Every day you come on, the market goes down. What the heck? Anyways, the Dow's down 200 right now. I think it's mixed messages out of the Ukraine. You know, the Putin is saying one thing and Biden is saying another. And I saw an article in the Wall Street Journal today that says there's no signs that he's pulling back. So you've got the Dow down 200. 34,789 is where the Dow is right now. Meanwhile, the NASDAQ, which was up yesterday, let's see, the NASDAQ yesterday was up 349. That looks like that's going to be short-lived. Well, it was down 162 today, down 1.1%. The S&P's down 30 to 4440. Russell 2000 down 12, that's 0.6%. Crude oil back up again today, so looks like the oil markets aren't buying what Putin's selling. Crude oil's up $1.52 to $93.59. We're out of the gate very strong here this morning with our holdings overall. Gold's up $9 to $18.65. Silver up 22 cents to $23.56. The 10-year really went up quite a bit higher yesterday, and that meant another sell-off in the bond market. We're at 2.03% right now, 2.03%, and Bitcoin is down 778 to 43,628. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. Well, you know, Barry, I spent a lot of time looking at charts, going through the markets yesterday. And, you know, the Dow, it's hitting its head on its 200-day moving average. It's no longer support. The 200-day, once you cross below it, that becomes resistance. And the Dow went right up to its 200-day moving average yesterday on a fairly big day in the market. The Dow was up 423, but it stopped right at its 200-day moving average, and now it's backing off of that new resistance level. And, of course, yesterday the news was that Putin was backing off and pulling some troops home, yet, you know, in President Biden's press conference last evening or late afternoon, he said, we see no signs of that. We're getting our people out of harm's way. And we're prepared not for war, but for heavy sanctions on Russia. And then this morning I read in the Wall Street Journal that there's no signs whatsoever that he's pulling back. And I think that's got the markets in a tizzy again here today. The NASDAQ remains in a downtrend. Okay, you can call it what you want. It's in a number four downtrend. It's well below its 200-day moving average. And the NASDAQ is getting very close to making a death cross. Barry, describe a death cross in a stock chart, if you will.
Yeah, and that's going to be where your 50-day moving average drops below the 200-day moving average, which is never a good sign for any stock. It sounds very
ominous,
right?
Oh boy,
but, but it's. And you're looking at, if you think about it, right, you're what those averages are, right, as a 50-day moving average, Those are indicators, right, of a much bigger move than, say, you know, one day here, one day there. Same thing with 200. So as those averages, you know, it's really, you know, also just an indication of your momentum, right? It is completely long-term momentum in reality. You know, at least from a chart standpoint, has dropped out of the name.
Yeah, so we have not seen that death cross yet, but, you know, I saw a death cross in the bond market a long time ago, and look what the bond market has done since then. I've seen some articles about this saying, you know, nothing to worry about. I disagree. I totally disagree with that. And if you just connect the tops over the last two, three months, let's just say the QQQ, which topped out at 408. You connect those tops, that's a downtrend on the NASDAQ. It's not pretty. And the Russell 2000 is totally in a downtrend. That's the small cap, very small cap, Russell 2000, small cap stocks. That thing's in a downtrend. That's an ugly downtrend. And the relative strength is only 38 on a scale of 1 to 99. Yesterday it was the small banks that led the way. They were on fire yesterday. Why? They react favorably to rising interest rates. The insurance sector was up considerably yesterday, yep, too.
And the curve and the yield curve is steepening, which is, you know, even better for banks.
Yeah,
because they take in deposits, right? They pay some short-term interest and then they lend long.
Yeah,
and so that differential, right, is what their net interest is, a term you always hear. That net interest is increasing with long-term rates going up.
That's right, and we have fairly heavy exposure to the bank sector for the first time in many, many years. And there was a rally in a lot of the electric vehicle stocks and what we call the long duration stocks. I saw it as short covering. You can tell if you've been looking at charts for the last 23 years, you can tell the difference between short covering and accumulation, you know, buying, going back in there with guns blazing. I'm not seeing that. There's a few names, maybe. Then I see some big ones just getting whacked today. Shopify's getting whacked today. Roblox is getting whacked today. Those two stocks, very representative of the high PE long duration sector. And, the breakouts yesterday were definitely in the small banks. I keep a little running daily journal of where I'm seeing the breakouts. The commodities were on fire yesterday, essentially aluminum, Nucor, the coal stocks, Arch, and AMR, chemical stocks, Huntsman Chemical. The only tech sector that really looked like it was seriously under some buying was the semiconductor sector. And it's backing off a little today, but I saw some pretty good action in Broadcom.
NVIDIA.
And NVIDIA, Alpha Omega Semiconductor. And then the insurance stocks, which got to be the most boring sector in the entire market. If I were to pick the most boring sector in the entire market, it would be the insurance stock. But that's where the action is, because they also do very well with what Barry just described, the yield curve actually steepening a little bit right now, and higher interest rates. So yesterday, several insurance stocks like ESGR and UNM, we're breaking out to new 52-week highs. Now, this is the behavior of the tech stocks, of the long-duration stocks a couple years ago. Now it's topsy-turvy. These financials and oil stocks and banks and insurance stocks, they weren't doing anything while the electric vehicles took off. And now you've got the electric vehicles in horrible downtrends and these other sectors in great uptrends. And the bond market got slammed yesterday. We have two inverse positions on the bond market, and they did quite well yesterday. So, you know, suffice it to say, the market is very, very choppy right now from day to day. It's really hard. I have made no change whatsoever to my theme. We're in a rising interest rate environment. You have to invest for a rising interest rate environment. You've got to shun the urge, put a rubber band around your wrist and snap it if you feel like going back into Roblox or one of those long-duration stocks. Ouch, that hurts. Maybe that'll remind you what Gunderson says, beware of high P.E. And, you know, like yesterday, yeah, there was action in Workhorse and QuantumScape and Solo and the solar car stock SEV and Rivian and Fisker and Xping and Lucid. Man, I just don't think that's the place to be with all of this global tension. But the bigger factor, I still say that the market's more worried about the Fed than Putin right now. That's not a good situation at all with Putin and the country Ukraine. But at the same time, it's not a good situation at the Fed. They have more clout on the stock market. Okay, so when we come back, we'll talk about. We're already going to get into some individual stocks here. Real early on, we want to talk about the retail sales number and what the Fed is now inclined to do after that hot PPI report. Barry, I need you to weigh in on that when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kai. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the midweek edition, Wednesday, February the 16th, Best Stocks Now show. I was just looking at Microsoft's chart. That's a downtrend. That is the predominant, if I marked 1,000 charts, okay, I used to do this in the chart books. We used to get books every Saturday delivered to our driveway, and I'd go through and mark each chart 1, 2, 3, or 4. Sideways trend, uptrend, topping out trend, or downtrend. If I marked the first 100 stocks in that book, I would say the predominant trend right now is downtrend in the market. But I have a select list of stocks that I look at are on the other side of the street, the insurance, the banks, the oil, the commodities. They're not in downtrends. But if I cross the street to Microsoft and AMD and Intel, I mean, the list just goes on. And of course, obviously, those long-duration stocks, they're all in downtrends. They're all in downtrends. I'm just telling you what I observe as a guy who looks at 1,000 charts a day. There are just numerous downtrends in the market, and some of them are very early downtrends. Can they go further? Well, I think that's in the hands of the Fed, really, and how fast they go with interest rate hikes and whether or not it gets inflation under control. Speaking of inflation, Barry, you missed the show yesterday, PPI. 9.7%.
And the month came in, twice as hot as expected. I think expectations were about 0.5% for the month. Came in at 1%. As we've talked about, that spells for future inflation, a tailwind
right.
For future inflation for the CPI, because these are, producer prices index, and they're going to pass some of that, right, or if not all of it, right, on back on to us. The one number that kind of reading the report that kind of came out of nowhere, in terms of just popped off the page when I was looking at it, was in January, a 25.4% increase in the index for softwood lumber was a major contributor to the rise in prices. So that's a big move for a month.
That's a big move for a month. That's a 2x4. Okay,
right. Yeah.
The prices got hit with a 2x4 right over the head. I went to a Harris Teeter last night. I haven't been for about a week or so. One of our favorite Sunday dinners, especially here in the South. You put a pork butt in the smoker. Early in the morning, you get home from church, and that pork butt is ready to go, falls apart, beautiful stuff. I'm used to paying $15-16 for one of those. I paid $28 last night. $28, $2.50 per pound. That is inflation. And as I went down the aisles of the supermarket, I also keep my eyes open and look at different things. There have been substantial increases in many, many items, common items at the supermarket. I'm sure you're seeing it. Our listeners are seeing it too. So yeah, that PPI, which just tells me that the Fed is going to be on a very aggressive pace to try to get inflation under control.
And to me, it's how, you know, how much of some of this inflation do they have control over, right? Because you know, to me, in terms of, you know, we're looking at, you know, current and past inflation, but you know, I mean, you take an Russian invasion, right? And you're introducing a whole new level, right, of inflation into the market, whether it's, you know, gas to Europe, whether it's, as we've hit on a number of times, the, you know, in terms of grain exports or corn exports. You remember when, you know, ethanol was introduced initially, right? You know, remember, a lot of feed prices went up in turn. Meat prices went up. Also now, 10% of our, 10% of our refined gasoline, right, is corn-based. So another tailwind, right, for gas prices. So there's a lot, you know, certainly, that event, you know, will feed and exacerbate the inflation problem, which probably is why, you know, Putin feels, kind of feels like he's in a good position to, you know, even bluff it, right, because of the fact that inflation is so high.
Yeah, it gives him more leverage. And then you've got the situation in Canada where they're threatening an entire massive trucker strike in Canada, and the U.S. truckers could join in solidarity. Imagine what that would do to the supply chains and to the prices at the supermarket.
Well, as we know here, you see, you know, all those. We've seen it with the container ships. You and I see them unload all those sea cans off of the at the port, and those get moved right by truckers. I mean, if they're not moving, they're sitting there. It's not.
Man,
they got to get to where they're going. So
maybe they'll have a parking lot sale. Just open up the containers. You drive down there and buy right from the source. There,
yeah,
no middleman.
So, right. It's it's not easy to get on the get anywhere close to the ports in the U.S. now. So
no, and I'm looking at our stock. Check out CF Industries today, which is nitrogen fertilizers. The sales were up 130% year over year. Okay, that doesn't necessarily mean the poundage, the quantity, but the price has also gone way up. It's tripled since it's tripled pre-COVID numbers, and their earnings were $3.71 versus 27 cents a year ago. That's an increase of 999. That's as high as it goes here. You'd have to do the math on what it really was. More like 1,500%. But sales up 130%. This is all very disturbing stuff, and I just have to believe that the one thing that is for sure right now in my thesis and theme for investing is rising interest rates, okay, and inflation. And, while others are saying we don't have an inflation problem and we don't think interest rates are going to go up, our team doesn't see that. I totally disagree. That's the one thing I think you can bank on here. Is $100 oil dependent on a conflict between Ukraine and Russia? Well, on yesterday's show, Barry, I read J.P. Morgan's latest forecast for oil, $125 a barrel by the second quarter of next year. That begins in 6 weeks. So, we are overweighted in the energy, obviously, the energy stocks. And, no, it does not depend. I would say that Russia conflict, that looks like a $3 or $4 premium right now. Because when it looked like Russia was going to invade, oil immediately went up $4 last Friday. And then it went back down $4 when they said, so that's about the premium in there. Heck, we're almost at 100 now. We're at 94, 93, somewhere in there today. Well, it's not all bad news. There's two sides to this street. There's those that benefit from this environment, and there's those that get crushed in this environment. Let's talk about who benefits when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. It's the Best Stocks Now Show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. It's not a very good day for stocks across the board, but depending on where you're at, there are some bright spots, obviously. The Dow down 185 right now to 34,803. The NASDAQ down 158 to 1391. And I know every time, Barry, that these the Robloxes of the world and the EV stocks of the world rally, you know, it's tempting to get back in because they move so quickly. But you know, I just continue to say my theme for this year has not changed. It's a rising interest rate environment, and that is a very, very stiff wind in the face of these types of stocks. Let's go to C Limited for a minute. SE. SE was on the list of apps being banned by India because these are Chinese apps that, you know, they think are spying on you. We own C Limited way back when. We sold it way back when. We sold it at $245.60. It's now at $143. It's gone down 100 points since we sold C Limited. They are kind of the Amazon of Singapore, a little bit like that, or maybe like JD.com was in China. But, you know, they've lost money every single year since going public. Their sales continue to grow mightily. Their sales over the last three quarters have been triple-digit gains in sales, but their losses continue, like $3 a year. So, you know, I see C Limited stock was up 15% yesterday as Kathy Wood buys shares. She scooped up 146,000 shares, and also Roderick Snell, another fund manager, put a bullish foot forward on C Limited. And so, you know, a lot of that move yesterday is their buying in that stock. And today it's back down 4.6% after that buy yesterday. The relative strength on C, it doesn't have a P.E. ratio because it has no earnings. The relative strength on a scale of 1 to 99 is 9. 9. It's in the bottom 10%. As far as performance goes. Okay, there's another disaster in that space today in Roblox. Oh my gosh, Roblox was at 142. That's the virtual metaverse. Your kids play it, right, Barry? Roblox?
Yeah, yeah, all three of them in some former fashion. Yeah, I saw where they had their gamers bookings for the metaverse, right? As you know, came in disappointed, and so not a good sign for them. And I think they had some other controversial stuff where they,
there was something yesterday that had to do with sex rooms or some
bad content. Yeah. Some not so great content. That was yesterday. Today is actually based on some numbers, but yeah, it's,
welcome to the metaverse.
Down 25%.
Ouch. In one day.
Yeah.
That's $8 billion. Okay. Or $10 billion gone.
Yeah.
In one day, and that's another big holding amongst the innovation discovery types of funds. I'm sure that's spilling over to Facebook today. Oh, the chart on Facebook, or Meta platform, sorry, is horrible. It's absolutely horrid. It's down another 2.7%. And even though it has a P.E. ratio of 16, I thought, Bill, you said P.E. ratio is 16 you like. Well, let's look at the relative strength.
Yeah.
17 on a scale of 1 to 99, one of the weakest stocks in the entire market.
Well, and I think it's important to note on some of these names, too, that it's, you know, we always talk about a correction, or it's in a bear market, or, you know, in this instance, I think, you know, a lot of these names have been, you know, what I call it, repriced, right? I mean, it's more than, to me, it's more than a bear market or a correction. It's, they've been repriced based on, right, another new
the PE ratios.
Assumptions. Right, exactly.
Okay, and let's give the next example. Yeah. Back in mid-November, Shopify, which we made a lot of money on 2 years ago, Shopify got up to $1,762. Where is it today? $728. It's lost $1,000 per share. Can you spell or say sell discipline? You have to have a sell discipline. You have to draw lines on these, you know, horizontal bottoms and connect the dots, and that's your support level. When they break the support level, you know, nobody knows where it will find support next, but it has not found support. It's down another 18% today. That's another one that's losing about $20 billion in market cap today, Shopify. You know, they have phenomenal sales growth, but their earnings are very suspect. Their earnings are down 14% year over year, while their sales are up 41%. That tells me that their costs have gone up, because with sales growth like that, you've obviously had an increase in cost. Shopify, I'm sure, uses a lot of shippers to ship product from these different various shops. And their profit margin is thinning considerably. Shopify's another one that's a disaster of the day. P.E. ratio, 139. Relative strength, 13. Okay, we want to turn that around. We want a relative strength of 90 or above, and we want a P.E. ratio down in the 15-16 area. Okay, I see another stock that's actually bucking the trend today, Airbnb, which I would also call a very expensive long-duration stock. That has a very good chart, but relative strength of 80 and a forward P.E. ratio of about 100, okay? About 100 is the forward P.E. ratio of Airbnb. They don't have earnings over the last four quarters. They have a loss. So then we have to look at the forward P.E., which is the next 12 months. They're looking to make $1.78. The stock is 186. That calculates out to a little over 100 times forward earnings, relative strength of 80. Good move, though, however, for Airbnb today. But I'm just not going to get sucked back into those kind of stock.
Yeah, and on Airbnb, I always look at, you know, if you like Airbnb, don't you love, you know, Booking, for example, you know, BKNG, it's at a 60 PE ratio and their earnings per share is $43, right? So, I mean, you're talking about a, you know, a company that does a very similar thing, and, you know, they've been around for years and they have actual earnings, but
yeah,
it's just not condoning either one of those names.
No.
But if you like Airbnb, you've got to take a look at Booking, in my opinion.
Yeah, but for me, it's too rich, way too rich, too, at PE ratio it's at.
For
but
sure.
It's hitting new highs, too, because of this relief we finally gotten from the virus named COVID, from the virus named Delta, from the variant named Omicron. There seems to be nothing out there yet that is threatening us, and that's given a nice boost to the cruise ships, the airlines, the hotels, etc. But that's another sector. I'm not that, you know, another variant could come along very easily, number one. And number two, those stocks are not cheap. I mean, you look at booking at 90 times earnings.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically at all-time high.
Forget it. I have no interest. Okay, so now let's find one on the – let's cross the street. Okay, here's the crosswalk. It says we can walk. Here we go. Anderson's. Not Anderson's Pea Soup, which I knew all about in Southern California and California, but Anderson's distributes grain, corn, soybeans, wheat, mainly to grain processors. They make ethanol. They make biofuels. They make seeds. You can't grow without seeds. The cost of seeds has gone sky high, too. A big increase over the last couple of years. ANDE reported they beat earnings by 47 cents. They beat revenue by $730 million. They're out of Ohio. Now let's look at their PE relative strength ratio. Relative strength, 95. This is in the top 5%. And PE ratio 14. Okay, there you go. I'm seeing a little, I'm seeing an interview on TV with the home builder CEO. Soaring lumber prices at $19,000 to new home cost. $19,000. Put that into your monthly payment. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, where that theme continues in the market with very weakness in the tech, in the NASDAQ, in the IPE, the stuff we all love. I mean, it's obviously a lot more fun buying Roblox than a fertilizer stock, but that's just the way it is here. You know what? We're investors, okay? I'm not looking to own the latest fad. We're looking to make money and take advantage of a situation that I don't know that a lot of people are in denial, right? They're going to continue on their own merry way, and that's fine. I mean, that's what makes for a market. And I think that the big firms they figured it out a long time ago to get positioned for a very aggressive Fed going forward. And I'm just going to mention a few stocks here that are doing well today. Let's begin with there's no question the sector of the day, and it sold off yesterday. And at the end of the day, I sent out a message to all our subscribers you know what? I am still very bullish on the energy sector despite this. The only reason oil sold off yesterday is because Putin said he was pulling back his troops. And then President Biden came on, you know, it was about 3 o'clock, but with about an hour left in the market. And he said, we see no signs of him pulling back his troops. And then the Wall Street Journal this morning. But it's not just, like I said, oil prices don't just depend on this global crisis there between Russia and Ukraine. It's the fundamentals. We continue, the demand is there. It's come back with a vengeance.
It's been underinvested.
It's been underinvested.
I think $3 trillion over. I can't remember if it's over the last 5 or 10 years. We talk about for a federal budget, right? $3 trillion, not that much, but for an entire industry to be basically underinvested by roughly $3 trillion is a huge, huge amount.
And OPEC, you know, they're playing around with holding back output to keep prices high. So we remain bullish. It's also, does well in an inflationary cycle, rising interest rate cycle. And you have the advantage of most of those stocks are trading at very low PE ratios. We have one of the biggest winners in the market today. And we own this across the board. We own this in our premier growth portfolios as a pure growth stock. And we own it in our dividend and growth portfolios because it pays a dividend yield, a fat dividend yield. I'm showing 6.1% on MarketSmith. I don't know if that's the dividend yield or not. I'm in it more for the capital appreciation. Now, here's your example. Relative strength 99. This is as strong as it gets. This was Tesla 2 years ago. P.E. ratio 15. Devon Energy, look at that. They reported earnings. The stock is up 7.1% today. That's carrying us to a big gain in that stock today. And Devon, like I say, relative strength of 99, P.E. ratio of 15. Okay, that's the wheelhouse that you want to be in. Their sales were up 234% year over year. 234%. And their earnings last year at this time were 1 cent for the fourth quarter of 2020. For the fourth quarter of 2021, they earned $1.39. What is that, a 1,500% increase, something like that, in earnings? Their earnings are expected to be up 55%. How many times have we featured Devon Energy here, DVN? On the air, it's up 7.
Look at the chart, probably a handful of times in the last. Yeah,
that's as good a chart. That's a Tesla chart. What can I say? I know Tesla is way sexier than Devon Energy. They drill holes and pump oil out of the ground. Okay, Tesla. Hey, Tesla's at the opposite end of the spectrum of a Devon Energy. But we're in the market to invest and to take, try to find themes to invest in. And this is one of the better ones that we have found. And that's why we double own it. Not only do we own it in our premier growth, but we own it in our dividend and growth portfolio too. Okay, now there's a couple ETFs that I'm going to mention here. OIL-U, I've mentioned this before, if you're very bullish on oil, O-I-L-U. This is three times the big oil stocks, and it's up 8.1% today. It looks like it's the top performing ETF out there. Of all the ETFs, it has a relative strength of 98. Now I'm going to go over to the short side of the street, okay? The vulnerable side of the street, because that's part of my strategy here in 2022. Our strategy is to be on the negative side, to have inverse positions on the most vulnerable areas of the market, the high P.E., and to have at the same time to have a long positions in the what we consider to be the best areas of the market. Well, WEBS, W-E-B-S, is three times short the Internet Composite Index. The Internet Index is all of these stocks that have entered into downtrends for the most part. Netflix has been crushed. Amazon has not a very good chart. Microsoft doesn't have a very good chart. You've got Facebook, which is just getting pounded. And then you have all of the internet picks and shovel companies. I saw another one that was getting pounded today. That's an old-time internet name. So this ETF, WEBS, which is inverse the internet index three times. I'm sure you can look up the internet index to see what's in it. It has a relative strength of 98. This is also one of the top performing ETFs. So, you know, you do what you want to do. We're just telling you what we are seeing, what we're doing, and why we're doing it. We're taking advantage of a bad situation in several sectors, and we're taking advantage of good situations in other sectors. If you'd like to have a talk with us, give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or sign up for the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.